Let's listen to Dean du Plessis's comments on the match today and on Zimbabwe's famous win over Australia.
Fantastic performance, Michael. Of that, there is no doubt. You know, I think Zimbabwe, they just stuck to the basics. But it's one thing sticking to the basics, and it's another thing entirely when you do those basics so very well. And I think that they were very happy to actually lose the toss and to bat first. A lot of us knew from the very onset that the pitch at the Premadasa Stadium, which is where they played this game, was going to be very different to the game that they played on Monday against Oman. That pitch had a lot of pace and bounce for the bowlers, and the likes of Blessing Zarabani, Richard Ngarava and Brad Evans were in their element. And I think everybody were a little concerned because they felt that the Zimbabwean seamers would not necessarily be able to adjust and that they would continue to bowl back of a length. Well, they didn't do that. They adjusted quite magnificently. Obviously, the batting was pretty special. I think there was a little bit of concern initially about Zimbabwe being about 15 runs short, given the fact that Brian Bennett, the opener who made 65 not out, and Ryan Burl, batting a number three, made 38. They batted very nicely. And there weren't actually many runs scored at the back end of the innings, despite the fact that they had so many wickets in hand. But that didn't really appear to be a problem or prove to be a problem because of the magnificent bowling and at times outrageously good fielding display that Zimbabwe had. You know, Blessing Mzarabani with his 4 for 17 was outstanding. He didn't continuously bowl his natural back of a length delivery that he bangs the ball into the pitch. He bowled good Yorkers, good slower balls, and then of course there was the occasional back of a length ball which worked an absolute treat. That's why he was deservedly player of the match with these figures of 4 for 17, but Brad Evans also gave him excellent support. And although Graham Cremer was wicketless, I thought he was very good in the holding period, in the accumulation period. He was very good. He got one or two deliveries to turn and bounce quite nicely, did the 39-40-year-old leg spinner. So that was good. Now it's Zimbabwe's next assignment, which is Ireland. And that is a tricky one because these two sides know each other so very, very well. Both of them approach each other with a certain amount of complacency because they know each other so well and because they've also become such good friends away from the pitch as well. So it's going to be an interesting one. Ireland obviously have it all to do. Zimbabwe have to continue momentum and show that they can be consistent and not have a bad day, because that is how it's been for Zimbabwe. One very good game and then 3 or 4 appalling games. They don't want that now. They've got some good momentum. They have to continue with that good momentum. And of course, the Zimbabwean supporters, regardless of where they are in the world, I can guarantee you will still be singing and dancing and jumping for joy.
Thank you so much, Dean, for that delightful review of the match today. And I know you are absolutely thrilled with that result. Let's talk now to our cricket correspondent, another very, very good friend of mine and a man who certainly knows his cricket. There's so much to unpack. There's women's cricket going on. We're still waiting for that match to start in Benoni. There's plenty happening at the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup. And so much to unpack from the other night, a sensational 16 hours of cricket with both the men's team and the women's team winning off literally the last ball of their respective matches. Kevin Rademeyer, good evening. Lovely to have you back on the show.
Hey, good evening, Michael. I think Dean summed it up beautifully there in terms of the Zimbabwean game. And you summed up the South African game, what they call the greatest T20 match ever. You summed it up beautifully after the match as well. So congratulations to your show. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much, Kev. I just wanted to ask you about picking up on Dean's comments. Just anything you'd like to add to what Dean mentioned, because it was a sensational one and it's opened up that group and given Australia a few problems in a group that is very, very tightly contested now.
Look, I didn't think that Australia would be in the semi-final. I called it. I think South Africa and India is going to make it out of the Super 8 stage, even if Australia do make it, just because of the massive injuries to the big names, Cummins. And today Hazelwood, they've picked up another 2 injuries since, and they looked a bit lackluster. However, as we know in T20 cricket, the teams are very close these days. Even though Australia got $37.5 million from ICC in the last year, Zimbabwe only got 17. It goes to show you what passion can do. I think the one other thing I'd like to add is, and I heard Dean was saying, they were probably, or most people thought they were 15 runs short. Even the Zimbabwean team thought the same. They kept saying to Raza, we need to push on for 190. And he came and said, no, if you're going to push for 190, you're going to make 140.
Mm.
170, 175 on this pitch would be great, especially with that wind as well.
Kevin, South Africa against New Zealand tomorrow. Big, big game in the group. The winner there is almost certain to go through. In fact, both sides will probably go through the way that group is panning out. But how significant is it to strike a psychological blow at this stage in the tournament?
I think to get the combinations, getting people a bit of momentum is probably more important than the win at this point. This year, you don't carry any points through to the Super 8 stages. So win or lose is probably irrelevant at time. Both teams will go through. We have UAE, and if we do lose to UAE, well, we probably don't deserve to make it into the Super 8s. New Zealand is an excellent team at this point. Some great combinations there in the middle order, good spinners, and they're all rounded team. I think they are a dark horse as well for this competition. So it's to test ourselves. I don't think we'll make too many changes. Probably Linda will go out and Bosch will come in. So it's important to get some momentum going into the Super 8.
As we've mentioned in our previews to this tournament, a lot of the matches in the first couple of weeks of the tournament are pretty much irrelevant. Maybe in a few cases there's some significant matches that happen. But of the minnows, other than Zimbabwe today, of course, who's impressed you so far? Who have you felt, okay, this is a team that might well go places going forward?
We saw, when was it yesterday, there have been so many matches. Italy won by 10 wickets. They had an unbelievable game against Nepal. Nepal almost beat England, and they should have beaten them. So it's been topsy-turvy. Italy was really excellent. USA today had an emphatic victory over the Netherlands as well. They look pretty solid. I won't say there's actually a bad team. All the teams have been really, really good, and they're much closer to the top-tier teams. America, like I say, today's performance, and Italy yesterday. But let's not count anybody out. Zimbabwe aren't really minnows, but they could be making it into the Super 8. If I had to pick another name, I think the one disappointing one is probably Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotland have also been good. They play England tomorrow, and don't be surprised if we see another upset the way that England is playing.
Mm. Let me ask you about that sensational match the other day. We haven't had a chance to chat since. South Africa against Afghanistan, two super overs and going down to the very last ball of the second super over to clinch it. Just give me your thoughts on that game.
Like I said to you earlier, I think that's the greatest T20 World Cup match ever. It was unbelievable. And for the people that didn't watch it, I think you missed out. The fact that they needed 13 off the last over, a barter ball, a no ball. We all thought the match was over, bowling to number 10. They hit a second ball after that. And they should have won it. They needed two runs, I believe, of three balls coming back for the second run out by millimeters. Who would have ever been able to script that? Ben Stubbs needing six off the last ball in the first super over. He got it. Once again, we know how Stubbs does it. And then Afghanistan needing 24 or four balls. Once again, everyone thought it was over, but three balls went out of the ground. And thank goodness Keshav Maharaj pulled it together. That match really sums up what the World Cup is all about. And it was pivotal, crucial that we won that game. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. If we lost that game and then we lose tomorrow against New Zealand, that would be us coming home. So I don't think people understand how crucial that match is.
Mm. Beautifully summed up and put together as far as that is concerned. It's a tournament which, in many ways, a lot of the matches may be irrelevant for some, but some significant expansion of the game that we're seeing on the world stage. Just talk about the women. I don't know if you have an update from Benoni at all. As far as the latest I have is that it's still raining there, or at least even if it has stopped raining, the field is still wet enough for the toss not to have been conducted as yet. Do you anticipate, from what you know, that we might get a shortened game in tonight?
All I can tell you, and you are 100% correct, the toss hasn't been done and it's still raining. All I know is the last time that you went to Willowmore Park with the hope of watching cricket,
yeah,
you came back very quickly and with no match. I will not be surprised if the lightning hangs around. I think there's a lot of bad weather, but I don't want to be doomsday. Any kind of preparation in T20 matches, even if it's reduced to T10, will be brilliant with the World Cup coming up in, 4.5 months' time in England.
Yeah, Kevin, that last match, I think it was, I'm trying to think what the date was, that I think it was the 10th of December. I actually, when I drove out of the stadium, our canoeing national team were actually practicing in the roads in Harper Avenue behind the media center. That's how wet it was. The roads were completely flooded, and it was just it took literally in 10 minutes. That whole field just became flooded. We had a storm of epic proportions. Apparently, my producer Len tells me there's a voice note about Benoni, so let's play that in and get your comments on that, and then I'll ask you about the women's match from the other night.
Good evening, Michael. The one thing about Willamore Park and rain and the Proteas, 80% of the time, guaranteed it will rain. We could be having the hottest week, the hottest month, but the minute the words Protea and Willamore Park come together, we guarantee to get rain. And we are a town that actually loves cricket. I've been living here for over 30 years. I've been to many games at Willamore Park, but I know there's always a probability of rain. Khomotso from Noni.
Khomotso, thank you very much for that. I started my public address career at Willamore Park in Benoni. Well, actually at the Palm Breng Stadium in Springs before if the cricket in that part of the world moved to Benoni. So I've got strong associations with the stadium. And you're right. I mean, there's been so much rain. It's been ridiculous just how much we've had. Kevin, just your thoughts on that voice note before we talk about the happenings from the other night as well.
Well, I must first say, Khomotso, I think, is her name. She's got a voice for radio. What a beautiful voice. And I think she summed it up beautifully. Everyone goes there. It's been the last couple of games now with so much hope. And then, unfortunately, the rain just washes it away. Luckily for them, I think they've got another game coming up as well.
Yes, on Monday.
Before the ODIs go around the country again. So at least they will get a... Well, hopefully they get a second chance on Monday. Otherwise, I guess we have more rain on Monday.
Well, we'll wait and see. But this tonight's match actually was supposed to have taken place in Kimberley, and it got moved to Benoni. So such is the irony. Benoni actually means son of my sorrow. That's what it means. So maybe it's literally living out its name. But Kevin, let's just talk about Kayla Rainacre and the sensational debut that she produced the other night. Two wickets in her first two overs to put a serious break on the Pakistan scoring. And then right at the end, needing to score some runs off the final ball, she hits it out the ground to win. Talk about the composure from our former under-19 captain.
Well, it started at the anthems where there was tears rolling down her cheeks, and you could see it actually meant the world for her to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with Laura Wolfart and a couple of the other girls. And she'd been biding her time and waiting to get that opportunity, and she finally got it. And then, like you said, I don't think there's ever been a better debut than hers. She came in with the ball, made an absolute impact at the beginning, held Pakistan to a total that was maybe chaseable. And then it looked lost for a bit while she came in with the bat. She looked composed, needing, if I'm correct, still just two runs off the last ball, and she hit it out of the ground. I guess it's been really difficult for her to try and repeat that coming from the high, but it'll give her a lot of momentum. And we need some more depth there in the middle order and someone that can contribute with the bat and the ball. So unbelievable. Brilliant.
And just talk to me about the significance of this series, both the T20 component and the ODI component. How important is it? Because as we chatted about the other night on the show, the South Africa have got some significant series to come. They go down to New Zealand, then they play five matches against, well, I think it's four or five matches against India. Yeah, and then, of course, it's a World Cup not too many months away. So some big opponents for South Africa to deal with.
It's excellent preparation for the World Cup. And 2026 for them is going to be all about the World Cup. We've got so close on the last occasions. A lot of people will say not winning it is a failure. I've got a different opinion. I think they've been done excellently these last couple of World Cups. But when I asked Laura Wolfart there at the Wanderers, where we commentated for SAFM at the after-match conference, I said, what is the aim of 2026? Will it be dependent on the World Cup win? And she said, yes. All of our attention is for that 2026 win. If we don't win it, well, it might not be a successful season. So this is the run-up. it's important to blood some youngsters, like you said, in terms of Kayla Reinacker and a couple of the others, that can then blend with Tasman Brits, Sinead Luce, Wolfart, Danae van Niekerk, who came back, Marizan Cup. We probably won't, I'll go out here on a limb, we probably won't have a better chance to win a T20 World Cup for the next 3 or 4 years, because I do believe there might be a changing of the guard very soon. So these ladies are in their prime, and mixed with some of the great youngsters coming through, they need to use this preparation time to be 100% correct for the World Cup.
Excellent, Kevin. I just need to ask you, does your team have interest in the FA Cup this weekend? Are you still involved in the competition?
Michael, that is a horrible question. No, we got knocked out in the second round already.
So we're
back to the league tomorrow, playing top of the log Cardiff. Cardiff have been doing excellently in League One, and I think they're about 17, 18 points ahead of us. We go there to Wales tomorrow. We had an excellent game on Saturday. So all the focus for us is on the league. I know you're playing fourth round tomorrow, if I'm correct, West Brom.
West Brom at home, yeah. And I won't be able to watch it because it clashes with my television commentary game against Kaiser Chiefs against Zamalek. But I'll pick up the news afterwards. I'm not really that worried about the cup, to be honest. The league is more important, as you say. Kevin, great to chat to you. Always excellent to have your contributions on the show. Enjoy what cricket we have over the next few days. Let's hope the rain doesn't intervene too badly. And thanks again, as always.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Kevin Rademeyer, our cricket correspondent, talking to me about all things sport. I just want to read a message from Desiree, who says, good evening, Michael. The Cricket World Cup is really exciting, but it's a world competition with teams like USA, Canada, Nepal, UAE and Oman consisting of only Asian players and not their own citizens. Really doesn't seem that fair. But thanks for the opportunity to share my feelings with the listeners. Thanks, Desiree. Always like to have different opinions from people all over the world and people in who contribute and share different thoughts on the show. It helps to make it really nice and exciting. So thank you very much for your message. Just our quiz question again. I asked you, what do the following teams have in common? Eldry and George is suggesting that they're sponsored by Fly Emirates. Well, Everton are not and Leeds are not, but it's a very good suggestion, but it's not the correct answer. So here's the question. What do the following football teams have in common?